Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio Audiocast on leadersportfolio.com and on the air as well. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the president and CEO of Cassaday & Company, Mr. Steve Cassaday. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
Now, Cassaday & Company is located in McLean, Virginia, approximately 20 employees, over $1 billion under management or supervision for 600 households. Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you do wealth management for?
Well, our typical client is has a net worth of $2 to $5 million, has about $1 million of investable assets to $1.5 million. Essentially, people work with us because they've got enough money where they're worried about the decisions being good or bad. They understand the impact of a bad decision, and they recognize that they need a professional to help them with all this stuff.
Excellent. And how? And you worked for a couple Northern Virginia area firms. You had gotten a bachelor's in psychology from Radford College, and you decided in 1993 to start your own wealth management firm.
Yep.
How do you just start a wealth management firm and get people to trust you with their money?
Well, it's sort of like setting your hair on fire and jumping off a skyscraper. I mean, chances of success are about equal to that. It was very difficult, and one of the things we just continued to say the same thing and have display the same type of culture, the same type of approach to clients. Our value proposition has never changed, which is when you want to talk to somebody about investment advice and financial planning, you want to make sure that their objectivity and their impartiality are totally assured. And we felt that the only way we could do that was to build a firm from the ground up, brick by brick, to be that type of source of objective and impartial information. And that's what we did, and it caught on. It was slow at first, but ultimately it caught on.
And how often do you have a situation where you have a client who disagrees with where you think they should put their money and doesn't listen to you?
It happened once.
That's actually
just
pretty
kidding.
Impressive.
Just kidding. The fact of the matter is that it happens. We have to do education. I mean, we want enthusiastic clients. We want people that believe in what we do, that buy into our process, and that recognize that it's right for them. And so a lot of people say no, and that's fine with us. In fact, we'd like to get to a no as quickly as possible because it saves a lot of time trying to convince people to do things they may not be comfortable doing, may not be a fit for them or whatever. So no is not necessarily a bad thing. We want to have clients that believe in what we do. We want a homogeneous client base, people that recognize that the way we manage money and the way we attempt to financial plan and build wealth is consistent with the way they think it should be done, as opposed to having people that we're always arm wrestling with, which just wouldn't work. And that's one of the reasons why our business is efficient and works as well as it does.
Do you find that wealth management firms tend to be on a scale of real risk to risk averse? And then where would you fit in that kind of continuum?
I wouldn't classify it that way, Rebecca.
Okay, tell me how.
I would say that there's different ways to classify firms. But I think that one of the things that we noticed in terms of distinctions between firms is that some advisors are facilitators. And a client will come and say, I want to do this. And they say, okay, we'll do that for you. And then the next client comes in and they say, I want to do that. And they say, no problem, we'll do that. Then you end up having a client base that is a mishmash of stuff that it's very difficult to manage and it spins out of control. The only way you can manage $1 billion effectively is to have everybody owning pretty much the same stuff and doing pretty much the same thing. Otherwise, when you need to make a change, it's impossible because everyone has different objectives, different portfolios. They look different. So we insist on discipline in terms of the portfolio's configuration. And if a client doesn't want to do it that way, then it's probably not a good fit and they should look somewhere else.
Now, to talk about some of the kind of – we're speaking with the president and CEO of Cassaday & Company, Steve Cassaday. Talk about some of the things that were thrown at us in this last great recession. We're still feeling the effects, right? Like housing. You know, everything people believed all of a sudden didn't hold, or at least, you know, stocks, right? So tell me, you know, did you see any of these trends possibly coming, and how is it affecting how you're thinking now?
Well, I'd like to say that we anticipated and acted on it, but that would not be correct. In fact, most people we know did not anticipate it. It was sort of like a small infection that you don't pay attention to, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Next thing you know, it's systemic, and your life is at risk. That's essentially how it developed. All the stars aligned in a very unusual way to produce like a 100-year flood in the markets. And we believed right up until September that a solution was imminent and that we would be able to fix things. But it really has had an impact on the psyche, the investor's psyche, and it's something that we have to deal with. In fact, it's a really important point for your listeners, is that one of the things we worry about is that most people are concentrating on the risk that they recognize, which is that we'll have a repeat of 2008. It's very tangible to people still. But we're worried about, and the reason I know this is because I've been in the business for 34 years. I've seen people go from 65 to 95. So I've seen the cycle of retirement. People shouldn't be worried about a repeat of 2008. What they should be worried about is, what if they live to be 108? Mm-hmm. That's the risk that people
right.
are paying attention
I
to.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah. 40 years. I mean, people are retiring at 62. The percentage of people who are taking their Social Security prior to 65, it's very high percentage.
It is.
And then they're expecting, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, for example, Bernie Madoff, right? This kind of ties in. So people, your clients and other clients of wealth management firms in general would be nervous, I would imagine, because, you know, this guy was able to pull all this off in front of everyone, fooling everyone. And so did you notice that all of a sudden clients started to kind of scrutinize, wealth management firms more as a result?
Well, you know, when you're a small firm like ours, we don't have, national name recognition. In our industry, we do. But, the average lay investor in, like, Topeka is not going to know about us, whereas other big-name firms, they would know about. So we have to cross that hurdle all the time and convince them that we're not some fly-by-night operation and that we actually are a substantial entity, an ongoing entity that has continuity and the things that they would want to have from a firm that's investing money for them. So we've always had that hurdle, but the additional hurdle was set when the Madoff scandal came, which, by the way, was right on the heels of the collapse of the market. I mean, it couldn't have been worse. So it was a lot of heavy lifting, psychological heavy lifting had to be done as a result of that. But essentially, Madoff, again, was a perfect storm of things happened with him where he was allowed to get away with it. And, you know, it's very, very unusual. The structure of his firm was very unusual, and that was what allowed the fraud to take place. If you're dealing, and this is important for your listeners to know, if you're dealing with a financial advisor, the two rules you should always follow is never make a check payable directly to that financial advisor or his or her firm. Always make a check payable to a public custodian like Fidelity or Schwab, TD Ameritrade, or obviously the major brokers like Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley are okay as well. That's the first rule. And the second rule is make sure that the custody, in other words, the entity that produces your statement is a public entity like a Schwab or a Merrill Lynch or a Fidelity, an organization that's really beyond any kind of question in terms of the legitimacy of what's on the statement. Because what happened, Rebecca, is Madoff produced his own statements and his own confirmations of transactions. He controlled the system vertically from end to end. It was perfect for him to be able to take that money and run.
That's
with
good
it.
Advice. I really like that. That's a really good. Now, did you see Wall Street 2?
I did.
That was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right, we're speaking with Steve Cassidy, President and CEO of Cassidy & Company. Now, Steve, you got a bachelor's in psychology from Radford College. And I think, a real interesting conversation is that psychology plays a huge role in managing wealth. In fact, if somebody was, I see CEOs in here who were in poverty, and so now, therefore, they want to be, I'm never going to lose this again. And so they succeeded and climbed and did incredible maneuvers to make sure they never did that again. And so how much do you see that playing a role?
It's huge. I mean, psychology was the best degree for what I do. And people say, what do you do, Steve? I say, I'm in investment business. I say, you must have a finance degree. And they're shocked to see that I have a psych degree. And I tell everybody the same thing. I see behaviors as a financial planner that no psychiatrist could ever even imagine. People are freaked out by money. Ladies that had triplets, are terrified of losing money. And guys that landed planes on aircraft carriers in the middle of the night in the rain are terrified about losing money in investment. So it's really profoundly impactful to most people. So we have to understand what motivates people and how they look at money and the deep-seated emotions. And frankly, a lot of the neuroses that are associated with money are big big pitfalls, big stumbling blocks for people in their quest to be better investors. So understanding all that stuff and being able to help people understand more about themselves and how they make decisions about money is extremely important. And it's not trickery. You know, we just want people to understand. Maybe the understanding is I don't ever want to have someone help me manage my money. Maybe the understanding is I really do need somebody. But you have to get through the noise, the psychological noise, to help people figure out what's right for them so they can make smart decisions. And Psych helps me do that.
Excellent. And you, when do people need you?
Well, I mean, a good answer is all the time, but the question is, when do people know they need us? Is usually when they make a big mistake, or they really are sitting down in a sober moment and really evaluating what they've done and how they've done it. And generally, when people come to us is often when they've heard from one of our existing clients how we transformed their financial situation, made it simpler, consolidated their financial affairs in one place, made sure that they could understand their rates of return, income, cash flow, the types of things that are important and that all financial planners would want people to know about. The other reason that people come to us is they get a windfall, an inheritance, retirement, those types of things. But most of our new business comes from referrals from existing clients, which I think is good.
Excellent, excellent. Speaking with President CEO of Cassaday & Company, Steve Cassaday. Now, Steve, talk about a time that you've had a leadership failure.
Oh, gosh. How much time do we have? I would say that the biggest thing for me as a leader, and I don't know if I wear that really well or not, is that I have trouble, or for a long time had trouble delegating. And if your business is going to grow and scale and maintain quality, you have to delegate. And so when I started my business, of course, I thought I was the smartest guy around, and there was no one around was as smart as me. And so it was really hard for me to hire people and delegate and empower them. But what I found out when I did that, which I guess is fortuitous, I found out that A, they were smarter than me, and B, they could do the job more quickly and more efficiently than me, and then I could concentrate on more high payoff types of activities that were more consistent with my skill set. So that was my leadership failure, was getting over that and being able and willing to delegate. Now I consider delegation a part of, you know, it's a part of me, and I do it, and I've surrounded myself with really scary, smart people that do their jobs with excellence. And that's one of the reasons why I think we've won the awards that we've won and received the recognition. I wish I could say it was because I was so brilliant, but that's really definitely not the case. The only thing I can brag about is I've got a knack for seeing talent, seeing people that are really smart, hiring them, cultivating them, and allowing them to grow into professionals that can have an impact on our clients' lives.
What's your overall leadership philosophy?
Empower people,
delegation.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to do it because there's no way that we could ever have grown the way we've grown without me successfully delegating that stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. We are here in studio with Steve Cassaday, President CEO of Cassaday and Company, here with us. And Steve, I have a Forbes business quote for you. And that's because your charitable fund gives money away to So Others Might Eat and Youth for Tomorrow. It's an at-risk youth charity. And so I picked this quote for you. Get all you can without hurting your soul, your body, or your neighbor. Save all you can, cutting off every needless expense. Give all you can. And that's by John Wesley. What do you think?
I think it's great. I would like to say that I live by that philosophy and as much as I can. I've always been a big charitable giver. I came from a modest background. I wasn't poor, never was hungry, but I have, you know, seen that kind of thing and been close enough to it where I know that I was happy as a young man when people helped me, and I've seen the impact of being able to help and to give back to society. And this is something that a lot of people say just to, you know, because they think they need to say it. But for us at our firm, it's the reality, and I've tried to encourage a culture of giving at Cassaday & Company. And, you know, everybody, we have, I think, 80 or 90% participation in our charitable fund. Employees give money. I match whatever they put in. And it's been a significant amount of money, and plus my wife and I give charitably, and it's the right thing to do. And I've been so blessed. I mean, every day I wake up and I go, I can't even believe how lucky I've been. And I just feel that it's important to help others, and mm-hmm. especially help people get on their feet. But you got one of the things we do as financial planning is help people with their philanthropic stuff. And another important issue for your listeners is making sure you're smart about your philanthropy. And that's one of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. We help people write a charitable mission statement, which is a really difficult process, by the way. But when you write that mission statement, then your charity, your charitable giving more accurately reflects who you are and what you want to see happen. And we've done all those things. And I feel really good about it. And we will continue to give as much as we can.
Excellent. Now, your firm's been featured in Mutual Funds Magazine, The Bond Buyer, American Banker, Financial Advisor, Fox News Network's Fox on Money, CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. And so you've been interviewed a million times in the media. Tell me, and we'll close with this, what's a topic that you are not asked that's actually very pertinent?
Yeah. By the way, all those interviews, you are the best I've ever been interviewed by. I got to be honest.
We got to keep this soundbite.
You are good.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying it.
Thank you.
So, but the answer to that is there's a lot of questions that are asked, and some are they go from inane to really pertinent. But I think one of the things that needs to be asked is, you know, how do you pick a financial advisor and why do you need a financial advisor? Because people are really confused about it. And it's understandable because there's a lot of really good people out there to choose from. So I think that investors and business people who might be looking for financial advice really need to be critical about who they work with. And often they work with people they like, people that they identify with. And that's not always necessarily the right way to do it. If you're going to have brain surgery, you wouldn't necessarily do it with the doctor that you like the best. You do it with a doctor that was the most competent and most qualified. So my advice, and the thing I wish we were asked more, is, you know, how can an investor or a consumer be really incisive and really smart about how to choose an advisor? And I think those questions would lead to a lot of really smart decisions in that decision-making process.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for the compliment as well.
You're welcome.
Steve Cassaday, President and CEO of Cassaday and Company, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.